In preparing for this study, the Lord brought me into a couple different places. I was studying in the book of James, and in the book of James, in the first chapter, this helped lead me into chapter 3. In chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everybody must be quick to listen," or quick to hear, "and slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." That's one of the passages that really helped encourage me in leading me into to want to really study into this passage this evening. Another one was a song on the radio. I was listening to K-Love the other day, and an interesting song came on by Leanne Crawford, and it just reminded me of my days as a middle schooler and high schooler, and knowing that my granddaughter Sadie is there, and my grandson Hunter is in that age group. And it was a song just called Mean Girls. And it goes on with the saying, "Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can hurt, and words can affect people for a lifetime." And I think we really need to be careful with the words we choose. And that just brings us into the passage in James 3 that I want to share with you this evening. "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into horses' mouths so that they obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And look at ships also. Though they are so great and they're driven by strong winds, they're directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue, a very small part of the body, yet it boasts of many great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." That's the word of the Lord for the evening. This is the passage I really want to dig into a little bit. And I have, if you have a pen and paper, I'll be going over a few other passages through the Bible that you might want to just jot down that apply to these passages as well. But starting off in chapter 3, "For we stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man." Well, as I know, just speaking up here, I can stumble through many things, and it can be very nerve-wracking at times. But if you don't stumble, you're a perfect man. Once the words come out of our mouth, so many times we say, "I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I could take that back." But once it's said, it's out there, and it accomplishes a deed, either to bless or to curse. So we need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. And what comes out of our mouth is from our heart. "Now, if we put bits into horses' mouths so that they obey us, we direct the entire body as well. And look at ships also, though they are so great and big." Some of those great transport ships carry hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of the little truck, that the diesel trucks here in town carry around. But they'll have hundreds of thousands of those on a big ship. And yet such a little rudder can move them in one direction or another as the pilot desires. Can we tame our tongue the same way? Do we have enough restraint in ourselves to do that? I think we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us through, because it is very hard for us to bridle our tongues. It's very hard for us to stop gossiping. It's very hard for us not to curse. It's very hard for us not to do those things. And sometimes it's even hard to bless when we're called to. When somebody's on their deathbed and you want to tell them something very important. And you say, well, I'll tell them tomorrow. There's not always a tomorrow. So many people say, you know, before I left my house today, I always say I love you to my mother, my spouse, or whoever it is. And then they have an accident and pass away. I wish I would have said something to them again. I wish I would have told them that I loved them before I left. Instead of, you made me another peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I can't deal with it anymore, and left in an angry and in a huff. You know, so it's such an inclination in our heart just to speak what's on our mind. That's not always the best thing. If we find ourselves filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can give us that inclination to guide us in the way we should go. Are we going to be ruled by the Holy Spirit to move the rudder and have the pilot be Jesus? Are we going to allow our own evil hearts, you know, that are set on fire from hell, as our passage says? Are we going to allow our own sinfulness to lead where we're going to go? I think we have to be very careful. So also the tongue, a small part of the body, yes, it boasts of great things. We all like the admiration of men. We all like, you know, people to pat us on the back. But the best thing is to have that pat on the back from the Lord, saying, good and faithful servant. That is the best we can have. Instead of having to say, I'm sorry, Lord, for the words that I've shared. I'm sorry for the hurt that I gave to another person. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. When we give our lives to the Lord, we know that He is in control. We know that He wants to guide us in what we're going to say and what we're going to do. But if we are allowed to go to our own desires, come from the pit of hell, because we are sinful creatures to begin with. We are born into sin. When we're born again, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure that we are following after that. Our tongue needs to be bridled. We can't just allow it to do its own course and its own purpose. We really have to be careful. Because even just driving down the road and you get cut off, what words come out of our mouth? You stupid, you know, we can go on and on with the evil stuff that spews out of our mouth. But you know what? The Lord knows our hearts, but He also knows that person in the car in front of us. And He knows when we've done the same thing to someone else, what they've said about us. Sometimes we just have to really understand that it's not all about us. And understand that we are all here for a purpose and for a reason. God has a purpose for Nancy today. God has a purpose for Paula and for me. And the words that we share are for that purpose that God has given us in our lives, to share with one another. And we can share them as to uplift somebody or to tear somebody down. To lift somebody up and encourage them, or to take them down in a way they shouldn't go. So I think we have to really be careful that the words that we speak aren't the ones that are set on fire by hell, but they're the ones that are anointed by God to uplift and encourage and comfort. For every species of beasts and birds and of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But we can't tame the tongue. We can train our dogs to obey, roll over, to jump, to fetch, to catch frisbees at halftime at a Bronco game. You can teach all kinds of animals to do things. You can go to SeaWorld and watch, you know, wild orcas jump in the air and hit balls, you know. But we can't tame our own tongue. You know, because you can be at an event, you know, and the kids are making too much noise, and you know, you can be rude and obnoxious to your own family. Shut up, be quiet. You know, we can be kinder and more loving to one another. We need to be careful with the words that we choose because they do affect for a lifetime. How many people in school have been uplifted by a teacher saying, "You've done a great job, you're doing good"? How many people have been torn down by a parent or someone else who says, "You're stupid, you don't know anything"? Those words affect people for a lifetime. We need to be careful with our tongues, what we say and what we do. But no one can tame the tongue, is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Sometimes we blame our past for all the hurts that we go through. But sometimes we can look back and know that it was placed there, you know, as a poison by some of the words that were spoken to us when we were younger. And sometimes we want to know, you know, why our kids turned out a certain way. Sometimes I have to say, "Lord, forgive me for my words. Help them anyway because of what I've said and what I've done." Let's be careful with the words that the Lord has before us. Let's encourage each other to study the Word of God. Let's encourage one another about what we've heard on the radio. Let's encourage one another to stay and study in the Word of God. Let's be disciples of one another. Let's encourage one another. The words that we speak can be an encouragement and a comfort, or they can be there to tear down and just to send people in another direction. With it, we bless the Lord our Father, and with it, we curse men. We've all been made in the likeness of God, but it all comes from the same mouth, blessings and cursings. God made this mouth to glorify Him. And the purpose we have in heaven is to worship and to glorify the Lord as angels surround the Lord and glorify Him day and night. We have that same opportunity and that same purpose in heaven to glorify His holy name. We want to be able to bring others into the kingdom. As the Lord told us, our one duty is to go into all the world. It isn't necessarily to go to the world and tell them to say the sinner's prayer. What it is to show them Jesus in our lives and how He has changed us and how He's going to change, how He can change them and comfort them as well. We have something to share, and we need to be doing those things. And it just goes on a little bit further in the passage, and it says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be this way." Well, of course, that makes sense when we start thinking about it. We shouldn't be hurting and tearing down. You know, when a child brings home a paper from school and it's a C paper, and you needed to try harder. You didn't just do good enough. Or you can say, "I saw that came out from your heart. You know, maybe next time we can go over some of the grammar and fix some of these other things. But it's wonderful to see, you know, what you've done." Is it going to be an encouragement, or is it something to tear down? You know, our lives before God is going to be the same way, because our words are going to be how we're going to be judged in the end as well. Does the same fountain send out fresh water and bitter water? Can a fig tree produce olives? A vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. The passage just goes on just to show us and to be a picture that we should not be spewing out the junk out of our mouths that we do. And the junk that comes out of our mouths is the junk that we're putting into our hearts. Because it's out of the abundance of our heart that our mouths speak. And I'm referring to the passage in Matthew 12, 34 through 37. And Jesus said, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of which fills the heart. And the good man brings out of his treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And that's the words of Jesus from Matthew. And that just shows you how important words are. He says, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they'll have to give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned." There's so many words I don't want to have to answer for that I'm going to have to. I'd rather answer for the words that I share from here, but I have to answer for the ones that I have in my home or in my car when I'm driving. You know, those are the words that I'm going to have to answer for. And those are the ones I have to ask forgiveness for. And I just pray that I can act more the way I should, and by saying the things that I should, by being careful with the words that come out of my mouth, to let the treasure which I've put into my heart come out and to be shown to those around me. In Luke 6:45, "For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." What are we putting into our heart that our mouth would be speaking such evil? I think that's one of those things that we really need to be careful of. You know, what are you watching on TV? What are you listening to on the radio? You know, do you have a quiet time with the Lord each day? Is the only time you crack open the Bible is when you come to church? If it is, then maybe that's something we need to change. Because if our words aren't coming out the way they should, maybe there's something else we need to be doing to fill our hearts with, so that we have something great to share with others. Ephesians comes on a little further. Because in Ephesians 4:29 it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear." We have so many things to share with one another. Some of it good and some of it not. But he says, be careful. Don't let any unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. You know, is that joke funny, or is it rude and hurtful to someone else? Those are things that we really don't always consider. But the Lord is saying here, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to what is needed for the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. If you're wondering, you know, how can I be a witness to somebody? You can be a witness by filling your heart with the Word of God, because that's what's going to come out in those times when you're sharing with somebody. Matthew 15:10, "What goes in a man's mouth isn't what makes him unclean." And that was talking about rituals, about eating meat, the sacrifice to idols. But it's not what goes into the mouth that makes a person unclean, but what comes out of his mouth is what makes him unclean. You know, I going through all this time and thinking about the words that come out of your mouth, you know, I was thinking about Peter. And I was thinking about the things that he went through, and about how he had some of the greatest speeches, you know, that are in the Bible. You know, Jesus asked, "Who am I?" You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. One of the greatest statements in the world. And yet he's also condemned by Jesus by his own words. You know, because he told Jesus, "No, you don't need to go to the cross. By no means do you have to go there. You know, I want to stop you from going." And, you know, what does Jesus tell him? "Get behind me, Satan." Those aren't the words that that are here for us today. You know, we need to be careful with the words. You know, sometimes we're bold in what we say, but it's not always correct, as Peter shows through those passages. Yes, you can curse God with one saying, but you can bless him with another. That's why that first passage I said that led me into studying this evening in James 3 about the tongue being a fire. But that first passage of being quick to listen and slow to speak, that way you can be careful with the words that come out of your mouth, that they can be used for edification and for encouragement and not to tear down and to hurt. Because sometimes we don't think about, you know, how it could be affecting other people. But we need to take time to listen as well. Not always say, well, I have something to say about that. Listen to what somebody has to say fully before you go forward, before you give any kind of advice or an encouragement. Because sometimes what you have to say is not fitting for the moment and can be hurtful as well. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, talks about the importance of what comes out of our mouth as well. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So we must confess with our mouth, and it's very important that we speak out the word of God and that we don't just keep it to ourselves. The Lord has saved me, that's all I need. No. If that's all you needed, he would have taken you home by now. He has a purpose and a reason for us to be here if we're here. And that purpose is to share and declare his name. For me, it isn't to work at Shields and sell somebody a Yeti cooler. You know, that isn't my purpose in life. My purpose in life is to let somebody know that, hey, I'm sorry you're hurting today. But I know there's a God who cares. I know that Jesus wants to be there and comfort you in your time of need. I am here for you because I am his child. And I know he is here for you now too. Those are the things that we can share in a moment of need with another person. But a lot of times we want to run away. We run away because, you know, they're a coworker we don't like. So they're having a hard time, you know. So we run away. Or should we be that person who does what the Lord is asking us to do? And be careful with our words. Be slow to anger. Be quick to listen. And be careful with the words that we speak. And I think in our passage it shows us that it is a fire that is set on by the fires of hell itself. We can't control it with our own thoughts and our own power. We are given some advice here on how to do things by being, you know, not being so quick to get angry, by taking time to listen and being careful with what we say. But our words can still not be great because we are sinful creatures. But what we can do is bathe them in prayer. Bathe them in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Start filling your hearts with the Word of God so that out of that abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak life and to speak love and to speak comfort to those who need it. Colossians 3:6. Paul is talking to the Colossians and he says, "Let your conversation always be filled with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know an answer and how to answer everyone." Does that mean that we can't talk about, you know, the Broncos and how they're going to do or how lousy they're going to be? Or, you know, how come the Nuggets, you know, blew their series? You know, there's lots of things we could talk about in sports or in life, you know. But, you know, our conversations can still be seasoned with salt. You know, just like this evening, I was talking with Darla, and she mentioned Tim Tebow and some of the great things that he's doing through some of his ministries. You know, you can be talking about the Broncos or sports, but you can also turn it around to something that's spiritual as well. We don't have to be over spiritual and overhype everything, but what we can do is we can make sure that what's most important in our life, which is Jesus, is reflected in what we're saying and doing as well. And the last part of James, it also says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment." Because lots of times we like to give a big diatribe on, well, you know, I would love to help you out, but I have this issue going on, or, well, I'm such a great person, that's why I'm going to come and help you out. He says, forget all that other superfluous stuff and just go with yes or no. It's fairly simple. That way we don't get caught up in the troubles of this world, in the troubles of our own mouth. And we don't get caught in a lie. We don't get caught in puffing ourselves up. Or let's just say yes or say no. Be careful with the words that we speak, so they can speak life and speak love. Some of the memories I have from when I was in college really, I think, speak to what's going on in this passage about words. Because when I was at a Benny Hester concert, which was really a fun time for us at college, he sang the song "When God Ran," and that song was very powerful and very stirring, and a lot of people came up to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior because, you know, they never heard about a God who cared for them so much that God would run just to them and meet them in their place of need. You know, I'm from a broken home. I'm not as smart as somebody else. There's so many things that have been spoken to people, but they came to see Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But what gets me at this point is, on that evening, I was called to disciple some of those that came forward. And it was one of those evenings that was just Spirit-filled. And one of those that was a blessing, you know, because one of my best friends to this date came to know the Lord at that concert, but he came up and asked for prayer. I want to receive this Jesus. I've never heard about God in this way. I've always just heard about church, and I've just always taken a nap. I never knew Him as somebody who really cared for me. He was just a God somewhere off. I didn't know He was somebody personal. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is something that's personal. So we got down to that level. All I could do was listen to His story. You know, he went to boarding school. His dad was working in South America. He couldn't be with him, so they sent him off to boarding school. And he spent time in boarding school. And so he didn't spend a lot of time raised by his parents. And you know, being in a boarding school, you have lots of things going on there with kids at a boarding school. You know, I learned quite a bit through those times can be wild, and the pressures that peer pressure is so much greater because you don't have that great influence of a family member. You don't have your parents to help you choose right from wrong. You're letting your peers decide what's right and wrong. And so he got on and told me about some of the sins in his life and went forward. And I said, "The Lord will forgive you." And three simple words, "The Lord will forgive you," broke him down into tears. And at that time, that broke me down into tears because the Lord forgave him. You know, and I did. There's lots of other words I could have spoken at the time, and I know that it was just the Holy Spirit, because, you know, I had lots of words to say. You know, what you're doing, you know, what they were telling you was wrong. What you did was wrong. He knew those things. What he needed to know was that God still loved him and didn't walk away from him, like he'd felt his parents did by sending him to boarding school. You know, there's different things that we do just by the words that we say and the words that we do. But those words and just listening to what he had to say that evening when he received the Lord was just a blessing to me and has changed his life forever and drew us into a great fellowship with one another. But we tend to encourage one another as iron sharpens iron. What did you read in the Word last week? What have you been learning at church? You know, we don't get to talk every day the way we did when we were in college, but you know, every few months we get together and we'll have those deep conversations. How are the kids doing? What's going on? You know, and we'll encourage one another. And then those are the kinds of words that we need to speak into other people's lives and encourage people to grow in the Lord. Well, I'm having a tough time. I'll pray with you. You know, I know life is hard and there's lots of things that come our way. There's so many things that want to take us away from following after the Lord. There's so many things that want to distract us. And as we get distracted, we're filling our hearts up with other things. And then you find yourself driving down Powers Boulevard, trying to drive 55, and they're passing you to going 80, you know, and you're just, you know, those words come out and it's like, where are they coming from? They're coming from what you've put in. Let's be careful what we put in to ourselves. Let's be careful because our tongue can bless or curse. What are we going to let come out of our mouths? Sometimes I feel like, you know, the monks from back in the Middle Ages had something right with more often than not, we need to keep our mouths shut and listen to the Lord. But at the same time, the world can't hear if we're not a mouthpiece, as it says in Romans 10:13. How can the world hear if there's not somebody to share the word of God? We are the ones. We are the light of the world. We are not here just to be listeners and absorbers. We are here to share what we put into our hearts. I praise God for everybody who's listening this evening because you're filling your heart with the Word of God from James. And I pray you'll look the passage up this week again to encourage yourself to get into the Word of God so you can encourage others by guarding your tongue, by being careful with what you say, because it does. With it you can bless and with it you can hurt. There's so many people that have to go through counseling these days because of so much hurt from a mother or a father who just spoken so many harsh things into a child's life. I don't want to be answering to God for that, as it says in the passages tonight. I want to answer to God for being able to share what I have this evening. I don't want to have to answer to any more words that come out of my mouth as, you know, I'm yelling at the fumble and why he had to be in that situation. You know, instead of blaming him and yelling and cursing at his name, you know, help us to understand that the world is more than just a game, that the world is more than just what we get from our heart. Because from our heart, there are many things that are good, and there's many things that are evil, just like with our tongue. Let's set aside those things that aren't for edification. Let's fill our hearts and minds with things that are of edification one for another. And I just want to get back to this one thing again of having somebody you can disciple with, that you can call on the phone. How was your walk with the Lord this week? What have you studied? You didn't study this week? I understand. Things get busy. I'll be praying for you on this. This is what I heard this week from the Lord. This is what I've been reading. Be helpful to one another. Be encouraging to one another. Find somebody in your life to disciple or to be discipled by. Because if you need help, ask for it. There's plenty of people right here today. There'll be plenty of people at the 4th of July picnic. There'll be people, you know, who will be willing to share and love with you. Through the women's ministry, through the men's ministry, through the youth ministry, through Acts, through the different events that we have that go on in the church. We should be building up one another. One of my friends in California recently came upon one of the songs that he sang in the 70s, and that's "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Well, is that true? If people look at our church today, will they know we are Christians by our love? Will they know we are Christians by the words we're speaking with one another? By the words that we speak to those after we get out of here this evening, that we share with the people at work, that we share with the people at the store, that we say about them when they pass us on the freeway? You know, what are those words going to be? So my encouragement this evening is, as I prepare to wrap up this evening, I just want to say that we need to seek His face. We need to fill our hearts, because it's out of what we treasure in our heart that our mouth is going to speak. Do we love one another enough to fill our hearts with His love, to share that with one another? If you don't have it, you can. Just pray, "Lord, forgive me for having a tongue that's been set on fire by hell. Help me to be slow to speak, quick to hear, and help me to listen to the Holy Spirit when He tells me to speak up and to be a comfort and not be afraid to share with what is in our heart. Because fear is not from the Lord. The fear is a liar," as another song on the radio goes. Let's be careful with what we do with our tongue. Let's be careful. Dear Lord, we thank You for this evening. I thank You for that opportunity for me to be able to share what's on my heart, Lord. Be able to share how You've changed my life in these past few weeks studying for this. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity You've given by Your Spirit coming in to my heart, Lord, by allowing me to study Your Word of God and to be able to understand that I need to share that with those that are around me, with my family and with my friends, and with the body this evening. I pray that You would forgive me for the words that have come out of my mouth that have not been for edification and for glory. Lord, I know that You're going to call me to account for those, and I pray that You forgive me. I pray that You would help me to be the child that You've called me to be, that You'll help us all to be the light to the world, drawing others to Yourself so that You might be glorified. Then when we go out of here this evening, that we will go out as lights to the world and not just holding it in for ourselves and hiding it under a bushel, but that we'll be able to be a light to the world and that we'll show them that You are the God of the universe and that You are the one who's leading this ship. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Prodigal is welcomed home, the sinner now the saint. But the God who died came back to life, and everything is changed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Where is Your sting? Oh fear, where is Your power? The mighty King of Kings has disarmed You, delivered and redeemed. Eternal life is ours. Oh, praise His name forever. home to heaven's sweet embrace. I'll see your scars, your open arms, and the beauty of your face. Through tears of joy, I lift my voice in everlasting praise. That you would just go with us the rest of this weekend, Lord, and throughout the rest of this week, that you would convict us, Lord, to speak your word to somebody this week, whether it's a fellow believer, Lord, or whether you choose to stretch us, God, and speak to someone outside of our church community, Lord. I ask that you would just continue to give us boldness to speak your name, Lord. To speak truth and to love to others. Lord, that you would bring conviction to us this week as you would just help us, Lord, to have control over our tongues, Lord, and that you would help us to speak life, Lord, and not death, God. That you would be the one that people see as we're going about our days, whether it's at work or at home, Lord. I ask that you would just shine through each one of us, Lord, that people wouldn't see us, Lord, that they would see you. In your name I pray. Amen.